and welcome to this week's episode of My Big Gay Podcast with me, a bottle of tequila.
And me, a bottle of vodka.
Giving you the life. No, that's your line.
Oh my goodness. I feel like this episode is going to be as chaotic as our weekend together, but
I think so too. But we have to get through the opening. We've done it for 5 seasons. So let's do it. Let's do it.
Right. Let's try again.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of My Big Gay Podcast with me, Benji.
And me, Brad, giving you the life, the loves and lulls of living in London.
Oh, two gays, one city.
What could possibly go wrong? I mean, two gays slash two very hungover gays today.
Yeah, and two cities from this last weekend, and it all went wrong. So
it really did, yeah.
Blimey, blimey, blimey. But before we get into that, how are you feeling?
Do you know what? When we obviously said that we were going to be recording the day after going to Brighton,
yeah,
I was thinking this recording is going to be a struggle.
Yeah.
But I don't feel too bad today.
I actually, this is probably the best hangover I've possibly ever had, but I do feel like a hollow shell. I haven't got like the hangover pains. I haven't even got like anxiety.
Uh-huh.
And for those of you that don't know what that is, it's when you're hungover and just you feel anxious about everything. Like, what did I do last night? Mm-hmm. What am I doing with my life? You know, have I invested in the correct pension scheme? These are the sorts of things that keep me up at night. All right. But I do feel like, yeah, a holiday. It's like at Easter, you know, when you get like an Easter egg, you're like, oh, it looks so great and amazing on the outside. Uh-huh. And then you like tap it and it crumbles to, like, the thinnest pieces of chocolate. I feel like that. I feel like I look gorge, but on the inside.
Fragile.
A hollow chocolate egg.
One poke and you're going to fall apart.
I mean, I don't really like being poked. We've discussed this multiple times. So I would probably fall apart on a good day. But right now, it would not be good. But yeah, other than that, I think I feel okay, which is amazing considering what actually went on at the weekend, which I feel we should probably get straight into so that people realize we sound as rough.
Uh-huh.
Why we sound as rough as we do.
Absolutely, yeah.
Gosh, that sentence was a struggle. I don't normally struggle to get words out.
I know, you're pretty good with your words, but yeah, that wasn't your best today.
Thanks, mate. Way to pick me up when I'm feeling shit. I mean, where do we start?
Well, from the very beginning, which is a very good place to start, as Julie Andrews told us many, many years ago.
Let's start at the very beginning. A very good place to start.
I mean, has anyone heard from Julie Andrews recently? Because I've not seen anything on social media and I feel like we should just check in with her. So if any gays actually know Julie, could you just, you know...
Check she's all right.
Julie, you're at hand. But no, yeah, you start, mate, because I actually don't know where to start.
Well, we went to Brighton for a day party, basically, a day drinking session. It was our friend's 30th birthday, which is amazing.
Whoop, whoop.
He is the youngest of the group, so I feel like we've now done all of our big 30th birthdays, because the last few years it has been big birthday after big birthday, and this is the last one.
Yeah, happy birthday, Stephen.
Happy birthday. But I didn't realise how close Brighton was to London, really. It was like an hour on the train.
I mean, it should have been an hour on the train, but oh, yeah. We decided to go to Brighton on the hottest day of the year. Even in the morning, when my alarm went off at like 6:30 in the morning, it was like, today records could be set as the hottest day in June of the last decade. And I was like, brilliant. And we're going to sit on a train. Everyone's going to have the same idea as us.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And they did. And all the trains were delayed and cancelled. Classic British trains.
Yeah.
But we did get there in the end, didn't we?
We
after,
did.
After the delayed. And it was like being on holiday. We walked off, we went down to the beach, and I was like, I feel like we're in Spain right now. This is amazing.
It was absolutely beautiful. And actually, when we got to Brighton, it wasn't as mobbed as I thought. I mean, probably because I sort of associate Brighton with pride.
Yeah.
When you literally can't even move on the streets.
Yeah.
So this wasn't too bad, but it was so hot.
So hot, yeah. I mean, we went straight to the beach. We got tinnies on the way and we was on the beach for about an hour. Then we were a bit like, okay, we need some shade. This is, we're getting a bit overheated here.
Well, we kind of just got settled on the beach and I was like, okay, it's like 32 degrees. This is stunning. Any of our like American friends listening, like 32, is that it?
I know.
Is that it?
Yeah. Any of our worldwide listeners, this is like a really, really hot day for the UK. We're not prepared for it. There's no aircon, nothing.
Nothing's airconned. Like, it's just, it is miserable. We got to the beach, got all set up, and then after about 20 minutes, everyone was like, okay, we're done on the beach. And I kept on being like, let's go via some shops, guys, get some drinks, meaning like water, maybe some fruit juice. Everyone's like, oh, great idea, tinnies.
Yeah.
Tinnies, tinnies. Tins, tins, tins. Tins across the board. Literally, I was like, okay, some sort of like non-alcoholic drink would probably be good, but what do I know?
Yeah, right. But right by the beach is the Brighton Pier, and it's quite famous, isn't it? Because it is just full of like arcades and rides and all the kind of seaside stuff that you would want to do in the UK. And we had the best time on the pier. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was good fun. They've got like slot machines, little games, like sweets. Like, there's a soft play area, which sadly I was too tall to go into. You can buy like chips, candy floss, and then there are all the rides as well.
But you weren't feeding the rides.
Listen, I'm a thrill seeker. I love me a bit of Disney, as we know. Thorpe Park, Alton Towers, all the Merlin places. But there's just something in me that says, do not trust a ride that has been built on scaffolding balanced over the ocean, which the previous pier had burnt down twice.
Yeah, you are literally on the water, aren't you? And
yes.
It's just wooden slats. And I was worried that I was going to drop my phone and then I was going to lose it all down the pier.
Whoa. You were not worried you were going to drop your phone. We were all worried because you kept on opening your bag like, where's my phone? And your wallet was like precariously like balanced. Like just about to fall into the ocean below. Like, there's no getting that back.
I know. And also, I've only just got back my ID. You know, I lost my ID last week.
Yeah.
I applied for my new license. That came really, really fast. I was very impressed with the UK government on that one. Not gonna lie.
You would have thought it would be a really good opportunity for you to use like a more current photo of yours, not one pre-hair transplant.
It was a pre-hair transplant photo.
Who is this bald man on your ID? Oh, gosh.
Oh, goodness. But yeah, we did the rides.
You did get me on one of the rides.
I did, yes. The famous ghost train.
Is it famous?
Well, our friend told us afterwards it was actually, it won the award for the worst ghost train in Britain.
Great. Well, I'm pleased I spent £5 on that. It was awful.
Were you scared?
No.
The scariest bit for me was sitting next to you, if I'm honest.
Okay, that was literally what I was about to say.
I read your mind.
What was even scarier was being stuck in a car, like seat belted in next to you in something that could break down in the 34 degree heat, because inside that thing was a furnace
with those like cheesy things that kept popping out, like those plastic skeletons.
Oh, it was so bad. I mean, at one point you went around a corner and you could literally just see the fuse box. You could see the extension cables like plugging the plugs, into these like so bad.
But we've got to do it. It's like a tradition with the group of gays, like whatever kind of seaside town we're in, if there's a little theme park, you have to the ghost train. It's like a thing to do.
Yeah, but I was then very much ready for some clubs.
Yes, and the gay bars, like, there are just so many in Brighton.
Do you know what, I'm never gonna do, you know, Soho and Clapham Dirty, but Brighton, you have the most lovely group of LGBTQ plus people.
Yes.
It was so friendly.
So nice.
Everyone was chatting like, oh, I haven't seen you before. Oh, we're from London. Oh, great. We've been to London. We've done this. But like, just genuinely, everyone was lovely. We went to, what was it called? The Queen's Arms to see a drag show, which was brilliant.
Yeah, she was hilarious. She was so funny.
Davina Sparkle, her name was.
Yeah.
And she was like picking on all of us, like, oh, from London, like blah, blah, blah. Just making us feel really welcome. Yeah, it was lovely.
And also the drinks prices, hello. When they came through, I was like, I'm sorry, I don't think you've added that up correctly.
Yeah.
You said here's £14, but I bought like four drinks. They're like, no, that's £14 for four drinks.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's one drink in London.
Yeah. The first bar we went to, it was called Centre Stage, also a drag show, it was great. I went and ordered a drink. It's on the front. It's got a big balcony overlooking the sea, like prime location.
Beautiful, yeah.
I ordered a tequila soda lime cordial and it was £4.
That is just unheard of, isn't it? I couldn't believe it.
4 quid. And then the next venue, bottles of Prosecco, £23.
Amazing.
Cheap.
Amazing. We should go there more often.
We should go there every weekend.
Yeah, we spend like a fortune going out in London.
Yeah. Well, you do.
Yeah. That is so true.
Drinks on me, lads. No. Put the card down.
Put it away.
Well, that's not the card we're talking about, but yeah. No one wants to see that again. No, it was good, but it did. The reason why we are so exhausted is it did go ever so slightly wrong nearer the end. So we were in the Queen's Arms and a couple of us were flagging. We were like, look, there was sort of chats of trying to get a hotel, wasn't there?
Yes.
But we're like, let's just see what time the last train is, blah, blah, blah. Ping, 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 cancelled. Next train, cancelled.
All the trains cancelled. We were stranded in Brighton with nowhere to stay.
No, even the Ibis was like £200-something a night for two people.
But also, it was just so hot, wasn't it? We was out and about anyway, but we had to keep going outside to cool down. I was like, we could just sit on the beach, like, I'm that hot. And we carried on clubbing, didn't we? Until whatever time it was. And then we got the first train back to London at like 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah, don't miss out the worst part of the whole trip, which is when we went to a Subway at like 3 a.m., which was open. But they turned the toaster off at 11 p.m. I mean, why even be open?
I know, you were furious about that.
It's actually when we went in, there was a hen already in there. They were like, don't bother. They've turned the toaster off.
And so by funny. That point, I was done. I was ready to go. And I was just sat on the pavement outside with my hood up, like, I just want to get into my bed. We've been drinking since like 11:30 in the morning. It's now like 3:30 the following morning.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah. I didn't actually get into bed till just before 7 a.m.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
About 6:30 got into bed. Yeah.
I'd literally been partying for 24 hours. Well, I'd been out for 24 hours and essentially drinking for the majority of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was so good though. What a great day. I love Brighton.
It was so good. If you are sort of in the areas where you can get to Brighton for a weekend, definitely would recommend it. It doesn't even have to be a weekend, you know, it could be any day of the week. Oh, actually, that's a good point. At one of the bars, we were like, oh, we're just wondering where like some other drag shows are. They gave us like a full-on map flyer for the month of every single show going on at all the different venues for every single day. It was so good.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, the gays definitely run that town.
Oh, yes. Yeah, 100%.
Gay capital of the UK.
I mean, the gays would run the world if we ever got a shot.
Some of us would. If I had to choose between you and Boris Johnson, I may still pick Boris Johnson.
No, you wouldn't. Absolutely not.
We'll see.
But moral of the story is, go to Brighton, lads, for a nice gay day out.
Go to Brighton, book your accommodation in advance. The train for us was like 14 quid. It was an absolute bargain.
Yeah.
But so much to do, so much sun, the sea, all the frolics. Get yourself to Brighton if you can.
Right, Benji, I know you're hungover today, but we do have a very special guest on this week's episode, so do not mess this up for us, okay?
Excuse me, I'm on top form today. You are the one that's bad with hangovers. I woke up this morning and I popped my little vitamin C tablet. I've taken my vitamin B and this delicious little multivitamin gummy, which I'm pretty sure I just eat because they taste like sweets.
Uh-huh.
And that's me being healthy.
Wow, you've taken all the pills today.
All those above board, over the counter, legal pills. Mum, I promise.
But before we get on to our special guest, I thought it might be worth talking about summer being around the corner. Yeah. And that's so exciting, right? I'd love it when it's summer in the UK.
Yeah.
But do you feel that there's a bit of a pressure in terms of wearing less clothes and body image and being like that summer body ready in quotation marks? Because I don't really agree with that statement.
Oh gosh, I know. Do you remember that big campaign on the tube that everyone hated, the beach body ready campaign? Oh, horrible.
Yeah.
Okay, so in short, yes, me personally, I do feel a lot of pressures in this field. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I grew up on a very small island, which is all beaches. So as soon as the sun's out, everyone is sort of topless anyway. But being in Brighton actually really, it wasn't like a horrible feeling, but it really took me back to sitting on the beach feeling really hot and being terrified to wear less clothes. I used to sit on the beach in like 3/4 length short trouser things. Hey, they were cool back then, all right?
Big fleece, massive hood up.
No, well, yeah, you joke, but like a jumper, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like long sleeve, yeah.
Because in Brighton, there were a lot of topless people around, weren't there?
Yeah, but I must be honest, in Brighton, there was people of like all different body shapes and sizes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and people just didn't care,
yeah.
Which I kind of loved.
Yeah, me too.
Because when we go sunbathing like Clapham Common, it's a very different vibe.
Yeah.
It's just like a I don't know, like a catwalk for people who have literally lived religiously at the gym for the past 4 months, or how actually probably years, but specifically the last 4 months, so they can walk around in tiny speedos with rock hard body.
Sure.
We'll leave that there. So that was a strange sort of, you know, reminding me of what it was like when I was younger. But I don't think it's just for the individual person to feel pressure. I think anyone would be lying if they said they didn't feel the pressure. Even people that have inverted commas the perfect body, which we'll come back to. I think even they feel the pressure because they have to keep up with it.
Yeah, the maintenance of that, because I know you've been gymming this year and I've been dipping in and out as I do.
The pool.
Yeah, literally. But I find it really hard to be consistent at the gym because I do have quite a busy social life, as do you.
Yeah.
And trying to balance that with work, I just don't want my social life to be affected where I say like, oh, I can't come out tonight because I've got a gym class to go to, or, oh, I don't want to have a late one on a Saturday night because I want to do the gym on Sunday. You know, I just don't want my life to be dictated by just going to the gym.
Yeah.
But I agree there should be like a balance, you know, of being sort of trying to be healthy. But I struggle to find that balance personally.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think I've spoken on this before, but like when I was like 15, let's say 16, I was at my biggest stage, and I was like 18 stone. I'm not even that tall, so I was vastly overweight for my age.
Uh-huh.
And I remember feeling miserable, and then sort of moving away from home to college, dancing all day, weight literally just dropped off me. I found the gym and I got into a really unhealthy place with fitness.
I
look back at pictures and I'm like, I'm literally unwell. Like you can see the bones in my face. Like it was just really not good.
So one extreme to the other you went.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. I mean, look, I never had any, I wouldn't say I would label myself with any disorders.
Yeah.
To put it lightly, I don't want to say any words because it's quite triggering for some people. But I don't feel like I had any of those. I ate too much when I was younger and then it got into a routine and it was bad for me. I don't think my mental health was great. And I think I use food as a way of trying to suppress emotion. But since then, I do go to the gym more, but I do it purely for me. I don't do it for an end goal of having a specific physique. I really, and I genuinely mean this hand on heart, I do not care about having a six pack. I do not care about having like 0% body fat. I don't care. All I care about is getting to that space where I personally, for me, feel comfortable walking around in just swim shorts without feeling like people are looking at me in a negative way.
Uh-huh.
That's my only goal, and that is purely personal. And I've had boyfriends be like, you go to the gym for way too long, like you don't need to do it, you just need to go for an hour, do this workout, blah blah blah. And I've always said to them, like, look, I'm not going to hit these stats. I'm not going to do these specific reps or whatever it is you want to do at the gym, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
I go to clear my head and to feel like I am getting enough physical exercise to make me feel confident within my own body.
Yeah.
And I think some people don't get that.
Yeah. Cause I know you go to like switch your phone off and have an escape from work and the busy life for a couple of hours. So I do applaud you for that because it's very difficult to switch off, particularly living in the city and doing the work that we do and the jobs that we do where we're kind of like on call all the time.
Constant.
So yeah, I fully applaud you for doing that for that reason.
Thank you. I mean, it's completely selfish and I don't care saying that. It is purely for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it is my time that I give myself. But listen, I think body image, there's never going to be a point where the whole world is like cured of body hangups or, you know, of disorders, or because it is kind of life and it changes constantly. The pressures on younger people change every few years. Like it was, everyone wanted to be sort of more curvy and then everyone's gone back to wanting to be like hair and chic skinny. And we're very much at the mercy of the fashion industry and sort of films and who's famous and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we're always going to have these battles. So I think getting somebody onto the podcast that we will be having later on, which is very exciting. Somebody who comes at it from a completely different angle, but pushing it into mainstream sort of gay culture, like to battle this stigma, I think is it's really important. I'm very much excited to hear what Matt has to say and sort of what made him start and made him feel like he was like sort of making a difference and what keeps him going.
Because do you think gays that go down that like muscle route is because of maybe bullying when they were younger and therefore kind of overcompensating when they're older to be like, okay, well, I've now got these muscles and I've got this like stereotypical masculine look to kind of make up for all the times where people called me like a sissy or a femboy or whatever back at school?
I don't think there is a definitive single answer to that question.
Sure, yeah.
I think people go to the gym to feel secure in their own body. Some of them go, yes, to feel attractive to other people because of maybe something that happened in their past. Maybe they really struggled with their coming out. And so they want validation by being suddenly very attractive to whoever it is, whatever gender. Whoever.
Or like playing up to that stereotype of what attractive is.
Yeah, maybe. And I think it's also like when people wear a lot of makeup, I feel like it's a form of defense. And I do think from that, sometimes you do go a bit too far and you become a bit toxic and you forget to get to know people for actually who they are, not for what they look like.
Sure. That makes sense.
Which I really struggle within the gay scene for that. Like talking to people, I can tell, like new people in clubs, I can tell they are judging me on what I'm wearing, what I look like, or I feel that they are, I should say. They don't necessarily... they're not talking to me just to get to know me, which is actually what I felt in Brighton when they were coming up in the clubs and talking to us. I felt like they genuinely cared about where we'd come from, like wanting to know a little bit about us, not just because of what we individually looked like.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely got a sense of a real gay community in Brighton, definitely.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. And I do feel the gay scene in London, it needs to change. I think it is changing, but I think it needs to, it's got a long way to go.
Yeah, sure. Well, listen, we're about to have an expert come onto My Big Gay Podcast who knows all about this because he is a fitness expert for the LGBTQ plus community. So why don't we take a little short break and we'll bring on the wonderful Matt Boyles.
This is a final call for Benji and Brad travelling to Jersey for Channel Islands Pride.
Oh, mate, hurry up. We're going to miss the flight.
Benji, I can't run in these espadrilles.
Gosh, well, what a shame it'll be for them to get left behind. Look, just put that book down and hurry up.
It says here that Jersey has over 30 beaches and is the sunniest place in the British Isles.
Yes, and we won't get there if you don't take those shoes and sun hat off.
Wait, how is my sun hat slowing me down?
It's not. It's just ridiculous.
Whoa, did you know that Channel Island Pride is one of the most attended events in the islands?
Yes, and this year they're going huge with a main stage, a cabaret stage, and performances from top drag queens, local artists, silent disco dance tent, and some exciting headlining acts yet to be announced.
Quick, do you need anything from duty free? Have you packed protection?
Of course I have. It's factor 30.
Not that kind.
Oh.
Come and pie with us at Channel Island Pride in Jersey, Saturday the 16th of September.
It's only a 40-minute flight from most UK airports, so pack your Speedos.
Pack your sunnies.
Pack your sun cream. And we'll
see you at the beach.
For more information, head to channelislandspride.org.
Well, Benji, I am very, very excited for our guest today.
I'm excited as well, although I do have a slight like imposter syndrome with the fact that we've got like a fitness confidence coach coming on the podcast when we've only recently just woken up after like 3 hours sleep from our all-night bender in Brighton. Something doesn't quite add up there, but we're going to go with it.
It's all about balance. You know, we have a heavy weekend and now we're talking about fitness, so we're going to meet in the middle.
I don't think that's meeting in the middle, and I do not think that that is balanced. But hey, we're going to see how it goes. I'm going to try and forget about the half-cooked Subway that I can still taste in my mouth.
Is that the only thing you can taste in your mouth?
Anyway, so without further ado, I am very, very excited to welcome on the founder and CEO of Fitter Confident You, which is an online personal training platform tailored to the LGBTQ plus community. He has worked with over 1,400 people around the world. It is the one, the only, the lovely Matt Boyles.
Hi, guys.
Hello, Matt. How are you?
Hello.
I'm very well. Thank
good, you. Good, good.
Thrilled to be here.
Oh, well, we are so excited to have you on. Now, before we get going, we want to hear your mic check. So could you give us your best mic check for us?
Rockabody mic check, 1, 2, and I can't remember the lyrics because I forgot to look up the lyrics.
So what? I don't know the lyrics either.
That's right. You gave the best ones.
How was that?
That was perfect.
Oh, phew.
I mean, does anyone really know the lyrics to that song, or is it just that one bit?
Just that one bit. It is the one bit.
That's the best bit. But yeah, thank you so much for taking the time to come on to the podcast, especially on a day as hot as today. It is sweltering, but yeah, we're very happy you're here. So thank you.
Pleasure.
And Matt, you are also a fellow Clapham Gay, but I've yet to see you on the Common. Will you be there this summer?
Sorry, just clarification on which part of the Common I think it needed.
I do indeed love living so close to the Common, having that on my doorstep. Obviously completely rammed this weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
But still, just lovely open space to be able to get out into.
Oh, great, great. Well, as you know, we have just come back from a weekend in Brighton, yeah, which was quite chaotic in the end, but it was so much fun. And we were actually just talking about the summer and how lovely it is in the UK when it's summertime. But maybe the pressures that that comes with in terms of body image and maybe having to wear sort of lesser clothes or like beach clothes, that kind of thing. And we were sort of saying about the pressures that maybe we feel about that. So I guess you're the expert on this anyway. And I wondered, do you find that a lot of your clients come to you at this time of year for that reason?
Absolutely. That and also just not knowing how to get started are the two main reasons that I hear from people most of the time. Body image, body confidence. Oh, I'm going on holiday. I feel stressed. Take my top off.
Uh-huh.
But getting comfortable with your top off is a journey that all of us have to go on in some way. But Brad, you were at Mighty Hoopla last weekend as well, weren't you?
I was, yes.
Boy, who was he?
In my pink glitter cape.
I've done my homework. I was too as well. And what I think is going to be really helpful to people is, so there were 30,000 basically gays there, and obviously all other amazing people across the LGBTQ plus spectrum. But of people with those sort of bodies, in inverted commas, who people who clearly live in the gym and may or may not take steroids, but because you just don't know. But they were such a tiny proportion, like 0.00000001. Everyone else had, in inverted commas, normal bodies, regular bodies, bodies that let them go dancing for 2 days in the park. I think we've built this up in our minds, our collective like gay consciousness, that everyone looks like they work out 10 days a week. Everyone is so obsessed with fitness that they don't allow themselves to eat any food that they want. And that also people believe that A, they're the majority, and B, that they're all really mean. And I just don't think it's the case. I think we've talked ourselves into this corner where we believe it, but actually the lived experience when you get out there and see all of our amazing cohort and compadres,
yeah,
it just isn't the case. I think we just, like, part of the thing we need to start doing is just questioning our own fears around it and say, is this really true? Is this really real? Are we really pressured into looking that way? Or is it just something we've sort of got this collective fear over, even though it doesn't actually exist?
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think it's because when I was growing up, I would buy underwear, and it was always six-pack people wearing the pants.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, like the gay magazines, and it was always that kind of look of like, oh, if you want to be like a hot man,
yeah,
you need to have that six-pack and that body. And I think that's what's always put me off of going to the gym, is sort of seeing those people with those bodies and thinking, oh, well, my body does not compare. So that's put me off going.
No, I guess the flip side is their bodies didn't look like that when they started.
That's very true.
Like, anyone can look like that if you want to, but obviously it can take over your life just to get to that level. But this is the whole ethos of what I preach and how I teach, because helping people see that it's like what we do with fitness, what we do with our bodies and for our bodies, is so much more than how it looks. And I started saying this recently, which is quite controversial, but I think your body, no offense to everyone, your body is the least interesting thing about you. Everyone has one. They're all essentially the same. It's what you do with it. It's what's in your heart and your brain and your soul that allows you to go and do good things and be a great person and create stuff and be funny and caring and support friends and all, like, and explore like anything you want to do, any verb. But having a body itself in and of it isn't that special. There's 7 billion of us and we've all got one.
Yeah.
So helping people take that step back and going, okay, well, there's all these other things that I could be excited about and reasons for training, i.e. sleeping better, higher sex drive, better posture, stronger, faster, better confidence, all of these things. And it's all sort of, yeah, it's all symbiotically linked. But when you take out the appearance piece and don't do it for everything else, it becomes so much easier and so much more exciting because you start to realize, well, because most people, especially if they train for their bodies just to change how they look, they're doing it for someone else. They're not doing it for themselves. Mm. They're doing it to fit in because they think they have to. And that is never going to be sustaining or sustainable because it's not a pleasant reason. It's a chore. I'm doing it because I have to do this versus all the other ones are, I want to do it because I feel amazing when I do.
Mm. Yeah, for sure. I mean, for me, funny enough, we actually discussed that very briefly before you came on about how for me personally, for years, I was very unhappy with my physique. And then I went completely yo-yoed the other way and I was far too underweight. It wasn't sustainable. I had no energy. I became anemic, like just really bad. And then I got to a place where actually, as long as I felt happy in myself, it actually changed sort of how I was with other people, like relationships, etc.
Brilliant.
But for a lot of, I guess, a big argument that I always read, because I do try to keep up with these sorts of things, is like, who's to blame for why we have these negative feelings? Is it ourselves or is it the media? Because I know, like, we're out sunbathing on the common, mates will see somebody who has like the most like ripped body, let's say, and they'll go, oh my goodness, they're beautiful. But they won't say it about anybody else. So it's like, why are you saying that? Is that because you think that is the be all end all? That's what you have to become? Is it habitually built into us? Because like back when we were like, you know, foragers, those that were hunting, getting food and stuff were more aesthetically fit. I've read that before. Like, is it built into us that we want to be muscular? Do we want to have that physique? Like, so do you think the media does have a big part to play in it, or is it mainly ourselves?
No, I mean, we can't help but be influenced by what we see in the media we consume. And yes, like 20 years ago when I moved to London, when you two were still growing up at school, like the magazines like QX and Boys and Attitude, every magazine that was out there then only ever had gym fit bodies on the front. Mm, yeah. And that was at least 10 years of that, probably longer going back before even I was picking them up. But there's been a certain change of that. There's, I guess, more of the body positivity movement and accepting and making sure people can feel comfortable on their terms in their own skin more and more. And you do see a better representation of bodies. Yeah. But that's the other thing as well. So when your friend is comparing or looking at someone on the common, all they're doing is saying, oh, they're beautiful in very specific, rigid terms. Mm. But then you literally only have that snapshot of them there and then. They could be so miserable. Yeah. They could absolutely hate their life. They, like, we just don't know, but that's what humans are really bad at. We project so much onto people who we will never meet or never speak with without knowing anything about them. We're like, oh, he looks like that. He's happy. He has loads of sex. He's got a great job. He's rich. Like, he's got loads of friends. You just don't know that. Mm. But it's when you make that leap, that 2 + 2 = 5, oh, he's definitely as happy as he ever could be because he looks that way. That's when we do it to ourselves as well. So we get the worst of both worlds if we're previously when we were surrounded by that sort of media and when we were doing it to ourselves.
Mm. Yeah, interesting. I think something else for a lot of sort of younger generations growing up, sort of looking through adult content on online, sort of since lockdown, but I know it was before there as well, there's been a massive culture, particularly on a site called OnlyFans, which is sort of giving back the control to people offering sort of various adult content of themselves. And a lot of them do have this matching physique. So obviously anyone going through, I know they're not supposed to be able to access these sorts of pages, but like going through puberty, sort of going through changes, growing up, figuring out their sexuality, etc. When they do go online to try and see what they're supposed to look like, that is kind of one of the places they fall upon.
Yeah.
Do you think that's going to have also then a kind of a damaging effect on the younger generations growing up?
Potentially. But the thing is, this isn't just a gay problem,
yeah,
or gay issue. Very much on TikTok, like the girls and the guys, super contoured, super like posing. You know exactly what I mean. Like filtered to within an inch of their lives as well, yeah, presenting that this is a real way. This is what, that this is real, mm, more than anything. And I think it's that, I came up with what I think is a $1 billion idea, but I still need to make it, which would be an app that you download to your phone. And just every time before you open any social platform, all it does is flash up and say, this isn't real. And it just reminds you, yeah, that like everyone in some way has curated or contoured or faked or filtered or taken 30 selfies before they've got one they're happy with. everyone is doing that. Like, that is definitely not just an LGBTQ plus issue.
Yeah.
Is that sort of extension of the more you buy into this world of fakeness, like the more you have to have the whitest teeth, the curviest bum, the biggest chest. And like, when I'm talking with clients who, for example, this is sound like a plot twist, but this is relevant. Like, if I'm talking with a client, say, about comfort eating, but they're eating to comfort themselves, but like, how much food do you need to comfort yourself? You can't answer that. And in the same way, how filtered do you need to be? How perfect do you need to present to the world? Mm. Because in that, like online, there'll always be someone with inverted commas, better body than you. There'll always be. So if that's what you're striving for, you'll never be happy because you can never attain that, because there will always be someone else who's even more polished. And who knows if it's fake or not, but even more pristinely created in this inverted commas perfect presentation.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a point back when sort of I started really using Instagram, which I'll be really honest, I did use to edit my photos to make teeth whiter, etc. And I never realized, but then when like a couple of years went past and I went back through pictures, I was like, oh my goodness, I have aged so quickly in the last couple of years, because I completely forgotten that I'd altered all my photos.
Right.
And it wasn't until I like found the original ones in my camera roll and I was like, oh, okay, actually, I looked absolutely fine back then. Why did I feel the need to edit them? So I think that's really poignant, actually.
So what was your journey into getting into the fitness side of things? Were you always into that at school and therefore carried on into adult life, or did you discover it later on? Because I know for me personally, I hated PE fitness at school. It was horrendous. It was the worst time of the week and I would do anything to get out of it. So I always came to fitness initially in a bit of a negative background, I guess, just from previous experience.
That's absolutely the same with me as well.
Is it?
I went to a school that was very rugby focused, and I was a very skinny, spindly child who, funnily enough, didn't like being beaten up in the mud twice a week in winter.
Uh-huh.
obviously, as an adult, some of those things appeal now, but back as a child, wasn't what I was into or looking for. And also, it was just such a hard, aggressive way of getting into sport and fitness. And the basic ethos of my school was, if you weren't good at rugby, basically assumed you weren't good at anything else. And in the 80s, there was very little support and nurturing of anything else other than the A rugby team. So I went through school trying a few other things, but nothing really sticking, because there just wasn't that passion that there was from the teachers and the school for anything other than rugby. Went to university, tried gyms, walked in, didn't know what to do, walked out, moved to London in my 20s, basically the same. And it wasn't until I went to a boot camp with a friend, and it was just because it felt so different to what I thought sport and fitness was, because it was by myself. It wasn't in competition with anyone. It was outside in the sun, which obviously made it better. It was on my doorstep, and it really a switch flicked, and I realized, oh, I've been wrong for 25 years.
Yeah.
It can make me feel better. It can make me sleep better. All these other things that I started to just see and feel different about myself. And that was when I started to explore other ways of, well, I got a gym membership and I found a good trainer who was really kind and understanding, just helped me on my journey. Going from there, like, and then just running with the ball and getting into it a bit more and realizing, oh, this is sort of changing me in a good way. It's giving me that, my voice, my confidence, my boundaries. And actually, when I started as a trainer originally, I was a face-to-face trainer in the park on Clapham Common and trained people in the traditional way. And I'd work with anyone. But it was when, about 6 years ago, I started building an online version that I realized, hang on, as a gay man, this has helped me so much. Just feel more at home in my own skin. And I realized there were so many other guys out there just like me who didn't know where to start, felt intimidated in gyms, would like to do something, but just had no clue how to do that. And that was when Fitter Confident You, specifically working with gay, bi, trans, queer guys, was born.
Mm. That is amazing. And it's so good that we have people like you to lead on sort of queer fitness, because I do feel a lot of LGBTQ plus community really sort of struggle to find their place within that. So it was so amazing when you got in touch with us, and we definitely wanted to hear all about it.
Yeah.
Because you've also got a wonderful book out as well, which you sent to us and we had a little read of, and it's fantastic.
Thank you. That's very kind.
So the book is called Fitter Confident Universe, and it's an LGBTQ plus guide to well-being on our terms, which I think is absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
thanks guys.
How long did it take you to write the book?
About 5 months last year, January to May. I basically set these really tough guidelines because I know me. If I had more time, I just would have taken more time, but yeah, I just knew I had to get it done. And I wrote it just because it didn't exist. It didn't really like the book goes into LGBTQ plus history as well to help people understand why we don't always learn to prioritize ourselves, why we don't always see the value in health and well-being and things like that. Mm. And just saying it's okay to do it on your terms. You could do home workouts. You don't have to join a gym. Like giving all these options just to show people there isn't a one-size-fits-all way to make it work for you. It's about the more you, as I said, do it on our terms, the more you can do it on your terms, the more it just makes sense, the more it feels like yours. It slots into your life like with less and less pressure and just become something you can enjoy as opposed to something, like I said at the start, that you feel you have to do.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And so what would be your advice on someone who maybe had a bit of a similar background to me, hated fitness at school, hated PE, and therefore is now trying to find that journey, but within an LGBTQ plus world?
Awesome question. So there's strength in numbers. So finding your tribe. Mm-hmm. And like there's more and more brilliant LGBTQ plus fitness groups, sports clubs. And that doesn't mean, obviously sports clubs might sound a bit aggressive if you've never done anything before, but there's all sorts of things from squash, tennis, rowing. Obviously there's quite a few gay rugby group teams now as well, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
But anything you want, if there was a sport you wanted to do, I promise there's an LGBTQ plus group out there doing it. And that just means that takes out the one thing that we all have to do all day to people is come out, even though straight people think you come out once and that's it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Obviously, as you guys know, you come out when you speak to a taxi driver, when you're in a shop, anytime you meet someone new, you have to come out. But that just removes that one stress by you're instantly around people who get you. But equally, doesn't need to be a sports team, could be an online group. So I've got a brilliant Facebook group of an amazing community that's free to join that is all about motivation, support, encouragement, helping people how to, and it's never about appearance. What that group does is shows guys from all around the world, all different body types, backgrounds, exercise interests, fitness levels, doing their thing. And people get cheered on. And what is really amazing is when people, and this happens not just, this happens in any group when you find your tribe, this is, people discover it's just as powerful to be cheered on as to cheer on your friends. Mm-hmm. Because then you're part of something and you feel like more than the sum of its parts, there's like a greater movement there. My favorite phrase is, a rising tide lifts all boats. Like, we rise together, we support each other, and we get stronger and fitter and happier and healthier and more confident together by looking out for each other. So finding people to do it with, and if you're not like into finding a group or whatever like that, you almost, if you're looking to get started, I'm pretty confident you will have one friend who does go to the gym. And if they're your friend, I'm sure they'd be nice enough to go with you, get a guest pass and let them show you around. And going to the gym, even if you're nervous, going with someone else, like more than halves any embarrassment or stress levels, because you get to share the experience with a friend who hopefully cares about you and wants you to feel happy and relaxed.
Yeah.
So doing things with friends, or finding groups as well, are absolutely the best way forward, because it just makes it more fun, and it should be fun.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Brad, don't get any ideas. I'm not going to the gym showers with you.
and there's that too.
Listen, Matt, I feel like you are such a guru on this topic. I could actually listen to you chat about it for ages. And I'll be honest, your voice is giving me absolute like Ian McKellen vibe. you have the most soothing tone.
Oh, wow.
I'm just sat here absolutely listening to you, like literally word for word. It's so nice to hear somebody who knows this world inside out and is using that for good for other people. So genuinely, thank you for everything that you've done. And if people want to go and read your book, where can they go and get it?
Easiest one is just hop onto Amazon and search Fitter Confident Universe, and that's universe with Y-O-U at the start.
Yes, and it's got a lovely picture of you on it as well. Here you are looking at me whilst I talk to you. And if people want to find you on social medias, websites, etc., where can they go for that as well?
So fitteryou.net, I know, edgy.net. And then on the socials is fitteryou global on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
Awesome.
Well, Matt, thank you so much for taking the time to come on board. We have loved having you on, and it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
Aww. Guys, thank you. I'm really grateful for the opportunity, and this has been a joy, which obviously I knew it would be because I listened to the podcast, but thank you for just putting me at ease.
Thank you.
Well, Matt, I'll probably see you on the Common in the summer, so see you there.
See you on the Common.
And I'll see you on the other part of the Common.
Who am I bringing the Lambrini to?
Oh, Matt, thanks so much once again, and we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Cheers.
Bye. Wow, what a lovely guy Matt is.
So lovely. And honestly, did you not get Gandalf vibes?
Gandalf vibes?
Yes. The soothing voice.
I guess he's like very wise, he's an expert, a bit of a guru. So yeah, I can see where you're going with this.
You shall not pass. Fun fact, did you know Ian McKellen changed that line? It's supposed to be, you may not pass.
Oh.
There you go.
Wow.
They didn't know that.
So glad I know that story. I'll sleep better tonight knowing that. Thanks.
Daddy McKellen told me himself. Jokes. I did not have him. Please nobody call Ian McKellen. But yes, it was because he was wise, but also that voice is so soothing. I was just sat here like actually forgetting to ask questions because I was like, you could just talk to me for hours.
You never say that about my voice.
Well, my mother always said, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Get your miss. Get your miss. Oh my goodness. No, but that was really lovely to hear from Matt. Like we said before, we have been trying to get him on the podcast for a very long time. So it's a topic that's actually very close to my heart, as you know, and we've touched on it a couple of times. So it's really nice to see somebody putting out this positive approach to fitness, especially within the LGBTQ+ community.
I totally agree. And if you were sat there listening to our chat and thinking, do you know what? I really want to start my fitness journey. Then today is your lucky day.
That's right. The lovely Matt Boyles has offered us a once-in-a-lifetime prize. It's an online training program, one-to-one with Gandalf himself, Mr. Matt Boyles, which is worth £1,000. He has given us this prize to give to one of you lucky listeners.
That is such an amazing prize. I actually want to enter it myself.
I know, right? Can we do that? The producer's shaking his head. We're not allowed to do that.
Yeah. But Benji, how can you win this incredible prize?
Well, I'm so pleased you asked me, Brad. What we want you to do is write into us with your fitness flops. Now, this could be something that happened at school. This could be something that happened at the gym. Maybe you tried to do couch to 5K in lockdown. Did it go awfully wrong? Whatever it is, whatever you think is your best, funniest fitness flop, we want to hear from you. And to do that, you just need to send us a message on our Instagram, which is at Big Gay Podcast. Or of course, you can email us, which is hello@mybiggaypodcast.com.
Benji, I've just had a flashback back to Brighton. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when we found out all the trains had just been cancelled and we were talking like, What do we do? Do we stay? Do we get an Uber? Do we find accommodation? And you're like, guys, I've got my accommodation sorted already. Don't you worry about me. And I look at you and you're on Grindr chatting to about 5 different boys, all offering you to stay over.
Don't worry about me, guys. Bye, babies. Bye, babies. I'm fine. Yeah, and that, to be fair, yes, that did happen. But from what I remember, you're like, oh, Benji, could you just ask them if, like, we can all come sleep over as well? Like, nothing sexual. Like, you go in and do your business. We literally just want to sleep on the couch before our next train.
Don't ask, don't get.
Anyway, mate, I've got to go because I've got a train to catch.
Where are you going?
Brighton. But podcasters, that is all we have time for on this week's episode of My Big Gay Podcast. If you don't already, please head over to our Instagram, it's at Big Gay Podcast, or over to our website, which is mybiggaypodcast.com. And like we said, we're running a competition this week where you could win £1,000 prize of online one-to-one fitness coaching with the lovely Matt Boyles, Mr. Gandalf himself. All you have to do is to send us in your fitness flops to our Instagram page or to our email, which is hello@mybiggaypodcast.com.
Benji, you've totally taken over and haven't left anything for me to say.
Yes, mate, I've got a train to catch. So like I said, podcasters, that is all we have time for in this week's episode. Until next time,
see you next Wednesday. Right, now that we've finished the podcast recording, you can open up your window.
Oh my goodness, I am so hot in here. The neighbours are still out there though, so I'll open it quietly.
I can't believe that you have to hide from your neighbours because you had sex with one of them. That is outrageous. Honestly.
Do you know what's really outrageous?
What?
I've also slept with your neighbours.
My Big Gay Podcast would love, love, love to thank this month's subs. I mean subscribers. Ugh. Who are the following? Becky B, Facilis, Jay, William Mealy, Jack, Joe Brown.
As well as Richard, Mark, Tommy, Kendrick, Rob Houghton, Michael Leonard, and Marty.
By subscribing, you're helping to keep My Big Gay Podcast free and accessible to the LGBTQ plus community around the world.
Yes, and thanks to your generosity, we're now able to make the podcast transcribed so that those that are hard of hearing can also enjoy the podcast. It only costs less than a cup of coffee a month, and you can cancel at any time. Well, if you really want to. And don't forget, you'll also be added to our close friends list on Instagram for extra content just for your eyes.
Oh, Benji, you're not going to make me put up nudes, are you?
No, mate. We're trying to thank our following, not send them running.